The Fan on Demand.
Thanks, Jerry. And it's time for Blue Jays Talk till midnight. We will be across the country until the top of the hour, 11 o'clock Eastern time. And then on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet590.ca until midnight Eastern time. So give me a call, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I know a lot of people are going to be falling all over themselves to be the first one to call and say the season's over, Blue Jays are done, all this stuff. It's not. They're not. It's a little bit harder than it was yesterday, but it's not impossible. Still going to be very, 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 very difficult for the Blue Jays to make the playoffs. There's no question of that, and there hasn't been a question of that for a long time. But it is not over. If you want to make yourself feel better by saying it's over, I don't know what to tell you. And I think this is, and I'm saying this off the top because of what I've been seeing on Twitter tonight, which kind of always primes me for the show, if you will. But I really think it's a multifaceted reason why people are so desperate to say that it's over and want me so badly to admit that it's over. Like, that's something that you can't admit something that's not a fact. But it's because of two decades of nothing in this city. It's because of the teases of the Maple Leafs the last 8 years every year. And it's also because we don't know how to deal with a playoff race in baseball anymore. We don't understand. There are a lot of people who listen to this show and a lot of people who talk to me on Twitter who've never been through it. And so I guess I don't blame you much. But look, there is no question that the Blue Jays need to start winning more than they've been winning already. They are 8-5 in September. Need to be better than that, even though that's pretty bloody good. They need to be better because of the hole they've dug themselves. But by the weekend, they could be 2 games out. Now, they could be 8 games out. But they could be 2 games out by the weekend. And if that happens, you're right in the middle of everything. If they're 2 games out with 2 games left in the season, they're very much in it. They got to start climbing a little bit more, a little bit at a time, but time's running out. Right now, they're 4 games back of the Kansas City Royals, who hold the second wild card in the American League. The Kansas City Royals are currently trailing the Chicago White Sox 3-1 as they begin play in the top of the eighth inning. The New York Yankees are in Tampa Bay, and the Rays are trying to win it in the bottom of the ninth. They've got runners at first and second and two out. And Kurt Casale coming to the plate. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Russ, who is at Camden Yards. He was watching this one. Welcome to the program, Russ.
I speak to anyone at the Fan, at the management. Mike Wilner should have been at the game tonight. There's no reason you shouldn't have been there. It's the biggest game in a long, long time for this team. And I was hoping I would see you there tonight, but obviously you stayed back to man the station. I thought Jerry made a good point. I was saying the first inning, you get that first run. You know, the first game against Baltimore, you want to get off to a good start, and then they didn't score. Then obviously Baltimore scores two in the bottom of the first. But then Stroman has this 1-2-3 second, 30th, two outs, and that little pop-up that fell in between everybody, that was really a killer because he comes out of that, that's two innings in a row. And, you know, I thought he started feeling comfortable, and that third run, you know, hurt. The one thing I didn't understand is why they pinch hit Kobe Rasmus. I know they're looking for the homer. But you know what? It's you got it. It's a lefty. He's not hitting well at all, you know, this year. And to hit I know he's had some big pinch hit home runs. But the lefty was a reason why I thought, he shouldn't have pinch-hit Kobe there.
Oh, but there were no righties on the bench. I mean, the only righty on the bench is Dalton Pompey. Everybody else is playing in the game. You want to give yourself a chance. That's a big spot. Like you said, Colby can hit home runs. And Ryan Goins has just been so awful at the plate lately. He's 2 for his last 25, 0 for 13.
I thought Goins had a good at bat.
He did have a good at bat. You're right.
Very good at bat. Yeah. He fouled off and he drove the ball well. But you make a fair point. If there's no righties on the bench, then there's nothing they could do. But it's listen, like you said, time is starting to dwindle, so, but it's, like you said, I think you said it well, the Leafs have been bad, the Jays, and a lot of people in Toronto are Buffalo Bills fans, too, which haven't been good for a long time. So, all those teams together, you always think the worst.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, and people won't stop doing that until something good happens. Thanks for the call, Russ, as always. More of your calls coming right up, but first, let's go to St. Petersburg. Sean Kelly facing the pinch hitter, Matt Joyce. And there are two out in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Yankees and Rays locked up. Nothing. Runners at first and second. Let's join in Sun Sports. And here's Dwayne Stats.
Pitches. 11 for strikes.
You know, this is what has led to this game. You know, you've got a scoreless game here. Matt Joyce gets a base hit, the Rays win it. You have a 1-0, 9-inning ball game. It's going to be 3.5 hours. And it's because of the pitch breakouts. A lot of deep counts in this game.
2-1. Ball 3. Ball loose for a moment, but no chance for an advance.
And that really is hard to believe, the how slowly this thing has moved along with no runs being scored.
What did we have at Colome? 7-3-2 counts and only one walk coming out of that.
Yep.
3-1 now on Joyce.
Well, good count here to end it on.
And ball 4, that loads the bases. We'll get Vin Zobrist up there. Well, it pushes Forsythe to third. Loney to second. The bases are loaded with two outs. And it's Zobrist.
Number 18, Vin Zobrist.
Well, Vin has had trouble with Kelly. He's 1 of 11 with 5 strikeouts against him.
You're listening live to Tampa and New York. Rays have the bases loaded, 2 out in the bottom of the ninth in a 0-0 game.
The pitch low, covered up by Murphy, and that'll work too.
That's the other thing, yeah, because there were a couple in that bat to Matt Joyce. We've seen Kelly down and in the dirt with the slider and the fastball. No margin for error here. You've got to smother that or this game will end.
That's a strike. Slider again. 1-1. Slider caught the bottom of the strike zone.
So there you go, Ben Zobrist, who Dwayne Stats just said was 1 for 11 lifetime against Sean Kelly. It's hard to imagine he had 11 at-bats against Sean Kelly. But he drives in the winning run, and in a brisk 3 hours and 34 minutes, the Tampa Bay Rays beat the New York Yankees 1-0, and as a result, the Blue Jays remain a game ahead of the Yankees for second place in the American League East, despite their 5-2 loss to the Baltimore Orioles. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk till midnight. Greg in Niagara Falls, go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Good evening. I'm glad you just a comment, and then I wanted to talk about Stroman. I'm glad you put it in perspective about the games being back. Hopefully by the weekend they could be two. And another comment about that, if they did win six in a row, who knows, they might even be closer. So, you know, from that perspective. I wanted to talk about Stroman. I was a little disappointed in him tonight. I was watching the game on TV. After he threw the ball behind that, I forget the hitter's name, behind his head.
Caleb Joseph.
Yeah, thanks. Should have known that too, because I've talked to you in the past. When he got the final batter out, he looked into the dugout, and I don't blame Showalter, and I'm huge on the Jays and supportive, and they're a good organization. But anyways, he looked into the dugout, and Buck Showalter just said, you know, moved his hand, like, get off the field. And Buck was saying, you know, don't do that. And Pat was even saying it on the TV. So I just wanted your comments, because, like I said, I was really disappointed. He shouldn't have shown up Baltimore like that. I mean, Pat was even saying they're trying to win, you know, and of course, all that stuff. So, again, I just don't want to keep mumbling and jumbling here. I'm trying to make sense, but I wanted to hear what you'd say, but I was getting very disappointed in him. So have a good night.
All right. I'm not disappointed in him showing up Baltimore or anything like that. I'm disappointed that he threw at Caleb Joseph's head. I think that's awful. I really do. And you know what? And Buck Showalter has told the press that it was borderline professionally embarrassing. And for a guy who usually chooses his words well, that's a really weird thing to say. But Jose Reyes was very upset with Caleb Joseph. Reyes thought that Joseph stepped on his hand when he scored a run in the fifth inning with a head-first slide into the plate. And Joseph stepped on him, and Reyes believed it was on purpose. There's really no reason to believe it was on purpose, and you have to kind of be a magician to be able to do that on purpose. But Reyes was very upset, and therefore Marcus Stroman was sticking up for his teammate and buzzing Caleb Joseph. That I don't have a problem with. I have a real problem that it was above the waist. Well, rib cage is okay. Above the rib cage, you do not throw at somebody's head. Period. End of story. That's it. You do not throw at somebody's head. Marcus Stroman did, and that's what I'm very disappointed in him with. Thomas is in Toronto. Thomas, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. I 100% agree with you. I thought that was a little bit... I wouldn't describe it as Buck Showalter did, but, I mean, yeah, it was kind of dangerous, to say the least.
That's the thing. It's dangerous.
Yeah, and for sure. We don't want to put million-dollar baseball players' careers at jeopardy by doing that, for sure.
No, you don't want to hit a human being in the head with a baseball at 90 miles an hour. I don't care about putting their career in jeopardy.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, though, for sure. You mentioned that, and I've heard you mention this quite a few times about people in Toronto and their pessimistic attitudes. And you know, over the last two seasons or so, I've been one of them. And I'll come out and say it. There's times where I don't think they're going to win certain games and stuff like that. But in any event, I don't think it's fair of you to pretty much put that attitude that people are having on the Leafs or the Raptors or the Argos, whoever it is that hasn't been winning in Toronto. I think that there was one time when I think earlier this season somebody called in and they kind of gave you the record of the Blue Jays in the months of July to August for the last I think four or five seasons.
Yeah, I remember that.
And from what I remember, you didn't believe it yourself, but it's been way under 500. And I think that pretty much sums up people's pessimism for the Blue Jays, and when it comes to the month of July, August, they start off hot in May and June, and then when it comes to July, August, September, that record just seems to go in the tank for some reason, and it's been like that for the last few years. And I think that's pretty much what sums up the attitude of people when it comes on to this time of the season. It's a tease thing. So,
But I don't see it, and what I told that guy too is, I don't think that's valid. You're right about the records, and I'm looking back. Last year was a horrible year anyway, but last year the Blue Jays were 22-39. 22-33 in July and August combined.
Mm-hmm.
2012, they were 20 and 33 in July and August combined. 2011, is it? It's terrible when your internet's not fast. 2011, they were 28 and 26, which is fine, but really not that good. And I'll go back one more year, 2010, when in July and August, the Blue Jays were 29 and 24.
Mm-hmm.
So two of the last 4 years, they've been over 500 in July and August. In fact, that the years that they weren't expected to win anything, they've been over 500 in July and August. And the last 2 years, they've been under. But the truth of the matter is that 2009 was really the only year in the last, I don't know, 10, 15, where the Blue Jays actually got off to a really good start and people started to believe that good things could happen. That was a year they started 27 and 14 and people were calling in this show to say, when are you finally going to admit that they're going to be in the playoffs? And I was saying, no, this team's not good enough and it's not going to happen yet. But all the other seasons where they've had the poor July and August, they went into July well out of it already.
Okay.
There haven't been teases. There haven't been, you know, it's this is the first year where, other than 09, where they were in first place late in May and even into early June, which they didn't get to in 09, where things then kind of went sideways. Otherwise, there haven't been any Blue Jays teases because when the Stanley Cup Finals were over, all the hockey fans started to look at baseball and Jays are 8 games back of the Yankees, you know, or 6 games back of the Red Sox or whatever it was. So I don't buy that tease theory at all.
All I really look at is the fact that, especially in the Fan 590, other radio stations, other media outlets as well, there's a huge debate whether this is meaningful baseball or not. And I think that, again, whether it's the record through July to September or whether it's just the fact that Blue Jays have not played meaningful baseball in September at all, whether they put together a winning streak going into September or whatnot, I just think the fact that there's a huge drought of playing meaningful games, I don't think that really has anything to do with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that's just Blue Jays itself. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think I heard you say, is it Kansas City to be the last team to...
Yeah, Kansas City hasn't been in the playoffs since 1985.
And if they make it this year, will Blue Jays be the longest standing team to have made the playoffs since that point?
Yep.
And I think that plays into it as well. So I don't think that's anything... In my opinion, I don't think that has anything to do with the Leafs. I just think that long, long drought is really playing on people's minds, regardless of what the Leafs, Raptors, Argos, and whatever other sports team that's in Toronto does. I really don't think it plays into it at all.
Okay, we disagree. I think it plays into it a ton. I think that when you're used to losing, when everybody loses, everybody, right? I mean, the Raptors, look how crazy we went this April for a Raptors team that lost in the first round just because they got to the first round and it was a fun series and it went 7 games and all of that stuff. This city went nuts for a first round playoff loss. That's how starved we are for any sort of success at all in sports. And I think that if the Maple Leafs have made the playoffs a couple of times in a non-strike season in the last decade, if the Raptors have made the playoffs a couple of times in the last few years, both of those teams, remember, play in leagues in which at least half the teams in the league make the playoffs every year, then I don't think people would be expecting the end of the world at every turn. I really don't. And I think it all feeds on itself. And sure, the Blue Jays have a role in it. Absolutely. I'm not saying that, you know, that 20 years of no playoffs means people should be excited about the possibility of making the playoffs. But I think that everything plays a role. And the fact that this whole city is so used to that, so used to nothing going right, That's what all this, it's over, it's over. Someone just tweeted me that it's officially over now, which is like the stupidest thing that's ever been tweeted. And the bar is really low on that. Greg is in Toronto. Hey, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yes, I want to change a little gears here and try and imagine ourselves having one league and three conferences, okay, with 12 teams making the playoffs. Okay, in the Eastern Conference, you'd have, for example, all the Eastern teams like Boston, Detroit, Toronto, Philadelphia.
Don't go over every team in every conference.
Anyway, okay, so
you want three? How many? So three conferences of 10?
Three conferences of perhaps 12. It'd be three conferences of 10.
Okay.
And then you have the top three, the conference winners, and then 9 wild cards. Okay. Wild cards. 5 through 12 would play off, and then the top wild card would join the three conferences as a bye. And they would have the first round would be like 2-game total runs, okay? And then you have your best 3 out of 5, and then your 4 out of 7.
That's not baseball.
No.
2-game total runs?
Yeah.
That's not baseball.
No.
No.
But it's
I like the fact that you're thinking that it needs to be short, that first series needs to be really short, because buys in baseball hurt the teams that are getting the buys. So you're right. If you're gonna bulk up the playoffs, you need to make that first round short. But you can't do 2 games total runs.
Okay, but you see the thing though with one game is just way too short. And with the bye, when you play 162 games, it means something. You need some rest up to rest up your pitchers.
No, you don't want the rest.
No,
you don't want it. That's the thing. They don't want it. Baseball you play is an everyday game, and I think. With the division series this year starting on Thursday when the season ends on Sunday, 3 days off is a lot. And teams are not going to be happy.
Wouldn't you think guys like Berlander would need the rest? Maybe
no.
A week or so and a half just to get his arm rested and all that? Or
no.
Things like...
No, nobody wants the rest, I'm telling you.
Okay.
But why three conferences of 10? Why don't you just have two leagues like they used to?
Two leagues. Well... It's just too many divisions right now. It's way too many divisions.
Right. So again, why don't you just have two leagues of 15 as opposed to three conferences?
That would be okay too.
Okay.
That's a possibility. And I'd like to see them, even at the end of the 9 innings, just decide okay who has the most hits as opposed to just going the extra innings.
Oh my God! Come on.
Oh yeah, it's just too long. Go 25 innings. It's ridiculous. And you have 162 games besides that. Anyway, I love your show.
Okay. Obviously, you've learned nothing from it, but I'm glad that you love it. Thank you for the call, Greg. After 9 innings, if it's tied, count which team has more hits and give them the win. Well, we welcome all sorts of ideas here on Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays lose it. 5-2 to the Baltimore Orioles, who clinch at least a tie for the American League East Division title. Joe Mauer just dropped a 2-run single in front of J.D. Martinez in Minnesota. The Twins and Tigers are tied 6-6 in the top of the 8th inning. And the Kansas City Royals just got a base hit from Alex Gordon with one out in the bottom of the 8th to cash Norichka Aoki. And that's a 1-run ball game now in Kansas City. The White Sox lead the Royals by a score of 3-2. What does that mean? Well, Detroit right now has a game and a half lead on Kansas City in the AL Central. And the Royals have a 1-game lead on the Mariners and a 4.5-game lead on the Blue Jays for the American League wildcard. The Cleveland Indians could catch the Blue Jays with a win tonight. And the Indians are trailing the Houston Astros 3-1 in the top of the 9th with one out and nobody on. Chad Qualls is pitching, and Chad Qualls is not facing the Oakland Athletics, so the likelihood of Chad Qualls getting the job done is pretty strong right here. Blue Jays lose 5-2 to the Orioles. Magic number drops to 1, which means they've clinched at least a tie for the American League East, which is to say, if the Orioles go 0-12 the rest of the way and the Blue Jays go 13-0 the rest of the way, they will wind up tied and play a one-game playoff. That is not going to happen. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We will let the network go at the top of the hour and then continue. Blue Jays talk till midnight on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.com. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Don't miss a pitch of Blue Jays baseball.
Hi, this is Mark Burley. You're listening to Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet's 590 The Fan.
Blue Jays lose it 5-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. First innings remarkably similar as both teams started their first inning with three straight hits. And after the third hit, both teams had runners on the corners, nobody out, and one run in. Blue Jays didn't get another run. Lefty killers Danny Valencia and Deonner Navarro both struck out, and then John Mayberry Jr. flied to short right. The Orioles did get another run. Nelson Cruz grounds into a double play, and the Blue Jays trade the run for the two outs. That made it 2-1 Baltimore, and they were never headed from that point on the way to a 5-2 win. The Blue Jays go 3-for-16 with runners in scoring position and get the tying run to the plate in the ninth. Edwin Encarnacion and Danny Valencia both ground out, and that is that. Marcus Stroman takes the loss to fall to 10-6, and the Orioles clinch at least a tie for the American League East Division title. The Blue Jays are still ahead of the Yankees, who lost 1-0 to Tampa Bay on a Ben Zobrist walk-off single. The Chicago White Sox lead Kansas City 3-2, two out and a runner on second in the bottom of the eighth. If the Sox hold on to win that game, the Jays stay four back, and the Astros just beat Cleveland 3-1, so the Jays are ahead of the Astros as well, or ahead of the Indians as well. Series continues in Baltimore tomorrow night. We're on at 7 Eastern. Drew Hutchison against Ubaldo Jimenez. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership with the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Frank Head, bye-bye.
Don't miss a minute of Blue Jays baseball.
Hi, this is Brett Cecil. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Pitch rocks deep right field. That's not coming back. And that one leaves the yard. A two-run home run gives Baltimore a 5-1 lead.
Ryan Flaherty, home run from an unlikely source. And the Orioles went on to beat the Blue Jays 5-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight. Phone lines are open. But before we get to the next call, let's take you to Kansas City and CSN Sports. The Chicago White Sox lead the Royals 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. And Eric Hosmer is at the plate with a full count, two out, and Alex Gordon, the tying run on third base.
That'll bring up Butler.
That was a walk, by the way, to Eric Hosmer. We're giving you this live look in off a television call, which means they're not always going to be very well detailed with their play by play, especially Hawk right there, Ken Harrelson. So that's going to be it for Zach Putnam. He gets yanked at this point in the ball game. So we'll step away and take a call while the pitching change happens. The Chicago White Sox make a pitching change. Now runners on the corners, two out in the bottom of the eighth. The Royals down 3-2 to Chicago. Billy Butler coming to the plate. Pete is in Cambridge. Pete, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Pete, or Mike.
Yeah, you're Pete.
Did I hear you say before the break that none of the Toronto pro teams have gone to the playoffs for many years?
Well, no. I know the Raptors made the playoffs last year, and I said the Leafs haven't made the playoffs in close to a decade in a full season. They haven't.
Well, they were in the playoffs there against Boston.
Yeah, but that was a 48-game season.
Oh, Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Okay, sure I see does. What you're saying. All right, not in the full season, right?
Hey, anyhow, look at how the Leafs have played after game 50 for the last 10 years. It certainly does matter.
Yeah. No, it does. So I agree with you on that. But I also agree with you on it's not over yet. It's going to be very, very difficult.
Yep.
But a statistician, for everybody that's out there listening to this, a statistician will always tell you that the stats change. So it's not over till the stats say so. Crazier things have happened, like along the lines of those people that say that it's over. Boston Bruins didn't think that it was over. Fans didn't think that it was over in that shortened season. And it just nobody believed that it was over except for the Leafs. And strange things happen sometimes. But I wanted to call to ask you, why do you think that Stroman took an intentional shot at Joseph?
Well, because he was protecting Jose Reyes. He was sticking up for Reyes, and Reyes was very angry because he thought Joseph stepped on his hand intentionally in the fifth inning when he was sliding home.
Okay, I see what you're talking about, but I can't. I'm going to disagree with you on that because there would be, for protecting Jose Reyes, there's no motivation for Marcus to do that. In that,
of course, sir.
He just came up a few weeks ago.
Yeah, which makes it even more reason that you're going to stick up for a teammate in that situation and show him that you've got.
Has that happened to him in the minors in AAA?
Has what happened to him?
For him, if something happened in the AAA,
I have no idea.
And well, that's one thing that I'm saying that probably didn't happen.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, Pete.
He's only 23 years old.
Pete.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you think that way, and I don't know that there's any better way to say this other than to say that you are completely wrong. Completely wrong.
I just don't understand why a player of that age coming to the major leagues would intentionally do something like that.
Let me tell you a story. Can I tell you a story?
Okay.
Let me tell you a story.
Let me just say this, okay?
Well, no, you made your point. You said it twice. If you still disagree with me after I tell you this story, let me know, all right?
Okay.
Here's the story.
All right.
Greg Maddux. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
One of the greatest pitchers in the history of the game and one of the best control pitchers in the history of the game. Greg Maddux was a raw rookie, the legend goes, when the Chicago Cubs brought him up in 1986 for his first time up in the major leagues. The story goes that Greg Maddux, and I'm trying to make sure that the numbers jibe here.
Okay.
The story goes that when Greg Maddux was brought up, there was a game in which somebody on his team got drilled. And the story goes that warnings were issued and whatever. And Maddux was told by his manager, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Don't worry about it. But this rookie, Greg Maddux, went out and he drilled the next guy he saw, and the legend says he got taken out of the game. Now, whether the legend also followed to say that he got sent down, which I'm looking now and shows that wasn't true. But that's the story, and that's what kids do. That's what players do. And again, there's no way Marcus Stroman should have thrown at his head. I think that was irresponsible and reckless and terrible. But there is equally no doubt in my mind that he was throwing at him on purpose to stick up for a teammate.
Again, I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay, but I'm telling you, like, this is a fact.
Okay, that's a fact, fair enough. But when you look at the way he started the game,
yeah,
and where his pitches were going, he didn't have any control.
He didn't walk anybody.
He walked
one guy in six innings.
But he was having trouble with the control to begin with. Are you saying that the fact that it was Joseph who happened to be the person that had that altercation with Reyes at home plate, that he was waiting and he was going to drill just Joseph and nobody else?
Of course.
Yeah. I just
absolutely.
Don't see that. I just don't see it. Even with that story, that's one in how many times does this happen?
All the damn time.
Exactly.
It happens all the time.
Balls get away from pitchers sometimes.
And
I
yes,
think
some...
it was totally coincident. That's it.
All right. Okay,
anyway,
and you're entitled to go to your grave believing that. You really are. And I guess what that means is that you have more faith in humanity, misplaced or otherwise. And I like that you think that. I really do. It's sweet that you think that. That's not what happened. I appreciate the call. Marcus Stroman was most assuredly throwing at Caleb Joseph. Billy Butler grounded out, so they've gone to the ninth inning. The Chicago White Sox lead the Kansas City Royals 3-2, and we will take you back to Kansas City for the bottom of the ninth and let you know what happens there. The Minnesota Twins are now down 8-6 to the Detroit Tigers in the top of the ninth. Tigers had a 6-0 lead, blew it, and here in the top of the ninth, Torii Hunter and Miguel Cabrera have hit back-to-back home runs off of their former teammate, Casey Fien. So it's 8-6 Tigers right now with one out in the top of the ninth inning. 3-2 White Sox over the Royals in the top of the ninth inning. And the Mariners are getting hammered 4-0 by the Angels. That game is in the bottom of the third. The Mariners are the only team that stands in between the Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals. In that game, Albert Pujols has a three-run double, and Howie Kendrick has an RBI double, and the Mariners, the Angels are beating up on Hisashi Iwakuma, which doesn't happen very often. Darko is in Etobicoke. Hey, Darko.
How you doing?
I'm good. How you enjoying the Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight?
Oh, great show. I like your play-by-play, I got to say.
Oh, thank you.
You keep getting better, right? Of course. And
I try.
And I'm looking forward to 2 decades or more of seeing you call the games.
I got to tell you, it probably isn't going to happen for another 2 decades.
Well, you know, like we all call some of the games anyway.
Thank you.
A part of the games, which is great. Anyway, my thing is with fans who say they're not playing meaningful games. So I'm just listening to you just before I got on now again, and what are you telling us? What's Kansas City doing? What's Seattle's doing?
Right, they're right? Not exactly chasing juggernauts.
Right, but the thing is, we want to know those scores.
Yep.
Why? Because it matters.
You're right.
Right? And okay, I'm disappointed that, you know, they've lost 3 of their last 4, 2 of them were by against Tampa by one run or whatever. You know, but if they'd have won those 3 out of 4 instead of 1 out of 4, you know, they're going to be in a stronger position. So all these
they'd
games
be two back,
have actually
but,
mattered.
Right. But if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bus, right?
No, absolutely.
They didn't
but
win
the thing
games.
But the thing is, the games matter, right?
Yes,
they're
absolutely they
where,
matter.
Where we figure they're way out of it. They're not way out of it. They're in contention.
It is beyond my level of understanding why some people insist that these are not meaningful games. These are absolutely big games, important games. Games played by a team that is in a playoff race.
Absolutely. And, you know, like for me, it's sort of, I'm glad the team doesn't have the attitude of a lot of the people who call in,
yeah, no
which
kidding.
Is just to quit, right? That's what they're, what do you want them just to quit? You know, my thing is I look at it and I say, you know, if they were just a little bit better, because I see like those 1-0 games, the games where you're at the end, you just need a few games to turn around to really make a difference where you're ahead now. And I know that sometimes is bigger than you think, but at the same time, they're close, right? And I'm hoping that when we get to the final series against Baltimore, that series still matters. And but you know, so far, I mean, this has been pretty good, although what I would consider a very up and down inconsistent season, but I'm enjoying the games, and to me that's what matters. And they're there, and I'm looking at all the scores to see how far behind they are, who's playing who in the next series, and everything. And you know, so that's just my thoughts on where they are right now.
I appreciate that, Darko, and I think you're right. Thank you for the call. It's true, and again, I've said this before. I think people are trying to protect their hearts. They don't want to allow themselves to get excited. And I kind of get that too, having lived in this city for the last 44 years. I get that. But it doesn't mean it's not happening, because it's happening. These are important games. This is a team that could very well be two games out of a playoff spot with a week left in the season. And that, ladies and gentlemen, despite the fact that they've lost three of their last four games, is a team that is right in the thick of a playoff race. You can say they need to go 11-2 the rest of the way. They can't afford another loss. You can say all that until you're blue in the face. It doesn't make it right. It's not right. It depends on what the teams ahead of them do. And the teams ahead of them, Kansas City just lost 3 out of 4 to the Red Sox, who are in dead last. They are going to the bottom of the ninth, losing to the Chicago White Sox, who are terrible. Seattle's getting its head handed to it right now by the Angels. The teams ahead of them are not good. The Blue Jays are not great. Neither of the teams are chasing. That's why they've got a chance. It ain't a good chance, but it is nonetheless a chance. It is Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. I'm stalling a little tiny bit here because I want to get you to the bottom of the ninth as soon as it begins in Kansas City. The Royals and White Sox, they are headed to that bottom of the ninth right now. And it's a 3-2 Chicago lead. If the White Sox hold on to win, the Blue Jays will remain 4 games out of the second wild card in the American League. The Kansas City Royals currently hold that position, and the Blue Jays could be no worse than 4 back. They can't be anywhere else but 4 back. What they could be is 4 back of both Kansas City and Seattle if Seattle can come back and beat the Angels. And again, they're down 4-0 right now in the top of the fourth inning. So let's go to Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. Ken Harrelson hopefully will give you enough information, and I'll fill in the blanks where he doesn't. They're going to the bottom of the ninth inning. Omar Infante stands in, 1-for-3 in the ball game against Jake Petrichka. The White Sox trying to close out the Kansas City Royals. Here is our live listen-in on Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
A strikeout and an RBI single. Next first pitch strike. That at 93. We have 13 hits, they have 6. We have 3 runs, they have 2 gift runs. One and two the count.
Infante going for the downs there. Got a fastball up and out of the strike zone. If he'd have made solid contact with this, it would have been a miracle. Because you need a stepladder to get to that one at 95 up there.
Slowly hit. The gun. Gets him. One out.
There's very rarely a time when a big arm at shortstop is a detriment. And Alexi's arm is as strong as anybody's in baseball. And he needed most of it here as Infante hustling down the line. He pours it across and gets him by a step.
Moustakas.
He's got some power. 15 home runs. But his been a down year offensively as you look at the numbers.
Young man's just having trouble figuring it out. One and one to count. Well, that gun of his is one of the reasons that our Sox are leading the major leagues in double plays. There's a strike and the count one and two. Of course, when you had Beckham out there with that gun he had.
Probably the best throwing twosome in the major leagues for as long as he was here.
Well, it's amazing how many double plays are turned and you get them by a half a step.
Yeah.
Or you don't get them by a half a step. Two balls, two strikes. And that is a double.
Gotta love Hawk Harrelson. We're listening live to the Chicago White Sox and Kansas City Royals. Bottom of the ninth, one out, and Mike Moustakas just doubled. You just hear the hurt in his voice when something goes against his beloved Chicago White Sox. The White Sox lead the Royals 3-2, but now the tying run is in scoring position, and Alcides Escobar is coming to the plate.
In the right spot for the Royals.
Escobar. He has grounded to third, walked, popped to short, and hit into a 4-6-3 double play.
Got to take another look back at Dyson. 33 steals. He caught just 7 times.
He had a huge pickoff last week in that Tiger series.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes. It looks like Tyler Flowers, with a man at second base, was crossed up. And fortunately, he was able somehow to catch that one. As you get Dyson at third with only one out, then you got to play the infield in.
Nothing in two, so a big hole here for Escobar. Back-to-back homers by Hunter and Cabrera. Tigers going to the bottom of the ninth, leading 8-6. Suzuki leads it off with a double. Off Soria. The runner throws him out. Two down.
So the Kansas City Royals now down to their final out, trailing the Chicago White Sox 3-2. Minnesota Twins also down to their final out at home to Detroit, trailing the Tigers by a score of 8-6. Coming to the plate now for Kansas City. Well, maybe not. Robin Ventura is coming out to the mound, and it looks as though he is. Is he going to make a pitching change? No, he's talking strategy with Jake Petrichka. Norichka Aoki is coming to the plate. Jerrod Dyson, the pinch runner at second base, a massive threat to steal. You heard Hawk Harrelson and Darren Jackson talk about how he's 33 out of 40 stealing bases. He's actually 9 for 11 stealing third. So that doesn't really gain an advantage right now with two out. He is a tying run. They're not going to want to mess around with that, but Norichka Aoki is 3 for 3 in this ball game, And here he comes to the plate with two out and the tying run on second in Kansas City in the bottom of the ninth.
Tell you what, Dyson on third, that would be more prudence right there.
Dyson was on third. I think you got to think about walking him.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
There he goes. And now the ball gets him. There he goes. This game is tied at three.
Got to keep looking back at second base, knowing that Dyson is the fastest man on this team and one of the fastest in the league. And that was a very costly second wild pitch of the year. Only one look at second, and here comes Dyson.
Yep, Jared Dyson just scored from second on a wild pitch that Tyler Flowers didn't get down on, so it's a 3-3 tie, two out, nobody on, and the count 2-0 to Nerichka Aoki. We'll stay with it to the conclusion of the bottom of the ninth, but the Kansas City Royals have tied this game up, and with a win, they would move five games ahead of the Blue Jays in the wild card race.
Two and one. And there's a double. Just inside the line. 20th two-bagger.
Four hits tonight for Aoki. That fastball right down the middle of the plate. The ball hit right inside the bag.
Terrence Gore is going to run for it. So here's Kane.
This is one of the base runners that they say might be as fast as Dyson.
Quickly, the count nothing and two. A 3-3 tie, we've given them two runs. There he goes. Chopper. There's a chopper, and this ball game is over.
The Kansas City Royals just walked it off against the Chicago White Sox. I will provide some detail for you since Hawk Harrelson did not want to do that. But what happened was the pinch runner for Aoki, who had doubled, Terrence Gore, took off for third, and Lorenzo Cain hit a chopper over the mound that no one could field. It went over the pitcher, Petrichka, and right in front of second base, the middle infielders came together, and the second baseman, Marcus Semien, had to go off his glove, and Gore scored, and the Kansas City Royals, and that's really, really tough on the Blue Jays now. the Kansas City Royals are handed a 4-3 win by the Chicago White Sox. And you heard Hawk say 3-3 tie, and we gave them two. And it was a throwing error by the pitcher in the bottom of the eighth that allowed the Kansas City Royals to close within one. A wild pitch to score a runner from second to tie the game. And then this little infield chopper that no one could make a play on that allows the winning run to score. So the Kansas City Royals walk it off with two out in the ninth inning. They beat the Chicago White Sox 4-3. As a result, the Blue Jays are now five games back in the wild card race. Seattle is a game and a half back, and the Mariners trailing the Angels 5-0 in the bottom of the fourth. The Yankees and Indians are six games up the track thanks to that Kansas City win. Blue Jays talk till midnight continues. Blue Jays lose it 5-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. Jennifer is in Toronto. You're up next. Welcome to Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Jennifer.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, I hear someone talking in the background.
And your cell phone's terrible. So try us again. Give us another call. And when you have a better line on your cell, and we'll get you on. Michael and Markham, we'll go to you instead.
Thanks for taking my call. A night for some weird calls, so I'm going to bounce a weird idea off you.
Oh, great.
Anthony Ghost, people,
can't hear you either. I don't know what's going on. Maybe we got sunspot activity or something. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. We'll also hear from Paul Beeston from today's Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame fundraiser. Blue Jays talk till midnight continues till midnight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Pitch, line over short, base hit into left field. Reyes around third, heading home. Here's a throw by Deaza to the plate. Head first slide, Reyes scores. Good throw, but Jose in there. And the Blue Jays cut the Orioles' lead to 5-2 as Valencia back to first with an RBI single here with two outs.
Second run for the Blue Jays made it 5-2, and that's how it finished. The Blue Jays got the tying run to the plate with one out in the ninth. Edwin Encarnacion grounded out. Then Danny Valencia grounded out, and that was that. Blue Jays lose 5-2 to the Orioles, and the Chicago White Sox give up two in the ninth. So Kansas City beats them 4-3. And that means the Jays are five games out of the wild card in the American League with 13 games to play. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk till midnight. Paul Beeston coming up, but first one more call. Doug is in Kitchener. Hey, Doug.
Mike, how you doing?
All right, thanks.
Silly question. Yeah. Anyways, long-time listener, first-time caller. Love your show.
Thank you.
I love your realistic
right
point of view.
Not optimistic.
But not pessimistic.
Realistic.
Ever. Realistic. That's right. It ain't over till it's over. And this is not really even a baseball call. I love your show, like I said, but I really want to extend my appreciation to the broadcast team of Jerry and Joe and you, and I still miss Tom. But after listening to the couple of broadcasts you played from other games tonight, we are so blessed to have you guys.
Well, thank you. But, I mean, those were TV calls, right?
Okay. I sort of wondered about that. I thought there might have been. I've been listening on 590.ca, whatever. And it sounded like a typical TV broadcast.
Yeah.
But, you guys paint a picture.
Yes, we do. And I'm sure the radio calls were better. But it's better for us to give you the TV calls when we do those drop-ins. So, we are blessed. You're right, by the way, we have a phenomenal broadcast crew here. But just, I want to make sure you know that those weren't radio calls that you were getting.
Well, I'm listening for a minimum of 13 more games.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Cheer them on.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Great work, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Blue Jays lose at 5-2 to the Baltimore Orioles this afternoon. at the Albany Club at King and Church, there was a fundraiser for the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. It's a great place in St. Mary's, Ontario, really the home of Canadian baseball, and the Blue Jays right behind it and doing a great job supporting it as well. Cito Gaston was there, Roberto Alomar, Sandy Alomar Sr., Devon White, George Bell, Dwayne Ward, and Lloyd Mosby, and Blue Jays president Paul Beeston. And the Blue Jays had a big hand in this thing, and it's great to see them stepping up to help the Hall of Fame. Here's my conversation with Paul Beeston at that event today. Paul Beeston, Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame fundraiser here in Toronto. It's a big step for this museum, and the Blue Jays are right behind it. Tell me a little bit about how important that museum is to not just to the Blue Jays, but to Canada.
Well, I mean, we're the only professional baseball team in the country right now, I guess, other than the Vancouver Canadiens, which is an A-ball team. So it's our responsibility until there's a team back in Montreal or somewhere else, to carry the torch. But I must say that, St. Mary's is a fantastic community that's embraced the history of the game, a place where we can honor the excellence that's been displayed throughout the game of baseball in this country. And, we're fortunate to have it. And so, to me, it means a lot. And I think we have a responsibility to... I mean, you had to be here today just to listen to the players that have been here, some of which are in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, some which probably should be in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame when you think about it, and some that are just honored to help out, just to make sure that, that the Baseball Hall of Fame can continue on so that we can honor our past.
We have our little, tiny little hamlet, just like Cooperstown. It's a beautiful place, picturesque, great museum, but we don't get the publicity, I guess, that the National Baseball Hall of Fame gets. And I guess as Canadians, that's kind of our fault. We look to the States for the big stuff, but we can do it just as big here.
No, it's not a fault. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it's Canadiana. It's us. It's what it is. I mean, you have to go there on a Saturday. When you go there on a Saturday, it used to be 11 o'clock. This year it was at 1 o'clock. But, they have the tent, and there is the pride. There's a sense of feeling there. There is everybody that, that it is the feeling that you don't get at Cooperstown in some respects. As much as Cooperstown is quite special, and it is quite special, there's something about the Canadiana aspect to it that we do, and we do well. And we have, this feeling, this warmth, this heart, this, appreciation of what players have done or what builders have done or what, trainers have done. And everybody has gotten into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame that's made a contribution to the game over the years. And, and that is, it's quite special. It is absolutely quite special. It is not just an event. Like, it's a feeling.
With Paul Beeston, Blue Jays president, you're sitting up there or watching the panel sitting up there. Cito's there, Dwayne Ward, George Bell, Devon White, Roberto Alomar, Lloyd Mosby. I mean, you're the one guy who spanned all those groups. Was it like watching my kids all grown up here and kibitzing about baseball?
I'm the luckiest son of a gun in the world. I mean, there's no question about it, Mike. I mean, to be part of all of that, from the time we dressed the Trafford Shaker in 1978, to the time that Robbie went in the Hall of Fame, everyone in between there, and then bringing his father into the group. But if you look at it, I mean, you could feel, the history of the Toronto Blue Jay Baseball Club. And you could feel what, how good these players were, and how they appreciated playing in this city and in this country. I mean, there's a pride to it. And, the fact that they're coming back, not coming back because they're paid to be here. They're coming back because, they enjoy being here and they can give something back. And when you look at it, you go right from one end of it to the other, starting with Wardo and going over to the other end with Bob Elliott. But, George and Shaker and Devon White and Sandy and Cito. I mean, they're all part of what we're all about. What they want to do is make the game, more prolific here. They want to make it sure that, that we can actually teach the game. And I think, when you see with this tournament 12, I mean, they're all here working T12. And more players will get scholarships, more players will go play competitive baseball, more people will come back here and actually teach the game. In a few years from now, we'll be a contender for a world championship.
When you were an accountant in Welland in 1976, watching baseball, all we had Fergie Jenkins, we had Terry Poole. And then time goes by and Larry Walker shows up, and then Jason Bay, and then Russell Martin, and Joey Votto. Now it's nuts as far as Gareth Morgan's being picked at the end of the first round. You had a lot to do with that. Whether you want to take credit for it or not, you being a part of the Blue Jays building this team and all that stuff and pushing baseball in Canada, how does that make you feel?
Well, I had nothing to do with it, you know, but being part of it, to watch it develop. I mean, you know, you missed the Ron Taylors, missing the John Hillers, but, I mean, then you start looking at it, you also miss the Morneaus, you miss, you know, the Saunders, you miss... No, I understand, because it's that good. I mean, you know, and it's that exciting, though. So it's not like you have one or two players that we all cheer for, you know. You now got a team that you can put together, you know, and it's exciting to watch and exciting to be part of. And for my way of thinking, I think the best is yet to come. I mean, we've got more and more ball players, and more players are going back there and are coming back from playing their college scholarships and are teaching the game, much like hockey. Send the Canadians down there, bring the Americans up there to play hockey. They learn the game, they go down, and they start teaching it. And you know what? That's how the game gets better, and that's how we're getting the fortune right now.
Before I let you go, I have to tell you, when I was 10 years old, I remember John Mayberry hitting his 30th home run of the season, last game of the year in 1980, first Blue Jay to 30 homers, and how great that was and how important that was for us. You were obviously there too. What did it mean to you, outside the game situation, to see John Mayberry Jr. go deep for the Blue Jay?
I mean, you had to know John. I mean, that's the way he used to do it. And John, we all grew up with Junior. It was Junior. And then John worked for Bobby Maddock. There was Bobby Maddock, Mel Queen, and John Mayberry. They ran the minor leagues for us from probably 1985 to the year 1990. And, you know, Junior came along. Junior this, Junior that. What do you see? Junior. Junior's going to go to the major leagues. Junior's going to hit him out. And Junior's going to be back. And that's what he used to call. That's what he used to call John Junior. And, you know, to listen to that yesterday, because I was on my way home, unfortunately, because it'd be home. But to listen to that ball go out of here, I didn't even think of Junior. I thought of the big guy, Big John. And, you know, he'd been up here this summer a couple of times, you know, and he is the same engaging, committed, proud baseball father at the same time, proud of that he was here. So it was terrific. So, I mean, I thought of John. I thought of his wife, Janet. I thought of John Jr. I thought of him all. I mean, so it was spectacular. And, you know, had to do it with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. The only thing was, it didn't end up the way we wanted to, which, you know, is what John was all about, winning. John was not about, like, the home run, unless the home run was part of a winning atmosphere. So it didn't work out that way, but it's still pretty exciting.
And you remember, obviously, 83 to 93, 11 straight winning seasons. From 85 to 93, the Blue Jays never finished more than two games out of a playoff spot. Four games out now with 14 games to go. You know how quickly that can change. It could be two games out by Thursday, and we got a whole different ball game going on. What's the feeling like?
I think, Mike, we're all, you know, I mean, we know we got a hill to climb. We know that, you know, that we're not sitting at the top, you know, waiting to slide down. We're on the bottom and having to climb up. But a lot of things can change. It can change tonight. It can change tomorrow night. And things can be different on Thursday. It could change so that we go into next Monday. We got 14 games left. You know, and we've got four against Seattle. We got, you know, four against the Yankees, and we got six against Baltimore. It's not like it's going to be easy, but you know what? Team keeps on battling. And then till we're out of it, I'm going to believe.
Beautiful. Thank
okay.
you for your
Come
time.
On. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
There he is, Paul Beeston, president of the Toronto Blue Jays, and now it's 13 games left, and it's five games back. The Blue Jays losing 5-2 to the Baltimore Orioles tonight, while the Kansas City Royals get two gift runs in the bottom of the ninth and walk it off against the White Sox 4-3. Looks like the Royals are going to pick up a game on the Mariners as well. Seattle is down 8-0 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim as they play in the bottom of the fifth inning. Blue Jays series with the Orioles continues tomorrow night. We are on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:05 first pitch. Ubaldo Jimenez will throw it for the Orioles. Drew Hutchison gets the start for the Blue Jays. They need a bunch of wins. And it's got to start tomorrow night. And even that might not be enough. It's going to be tough. But the Blue Jays aren't dead yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow.